Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
We'll make this one the last one until after the Pesach. We'll meet you back again. April 9th, I believe, is the following Monday. Okay, so let's move on to Tochen. Tochen, ladies, we translate it as grinding. And the definition is breaking down an item into small parts. Breaking down an item into small parts. A relatively simple definition based on, you know, compared to the ones we've been giving lately. I do have one more packet. Does anyone need? Everyone's good? Okay. Wonderful. That's the basic definition. And ladies, if you could, just because there's space in that box, if you could say, you could write in also including crushing, chopping, mashing, pulverizing, get out your thesaurus, right? Any word, any verb along those lines would be included in the prohibition of tochen. So again, including crushing, chopping, mashing, picture mashed potatoes, pulverizing, I'm not sure what recipes call for pulverizing, but any of those activities would be prohibited on Shabbos. So let me give a couple examples and then we'll get to questions. So applications, examples, ladies. A fresh avocado, spreading fresh avocado, making guacamole on Shabbos, and there are ways around almost all of this, but there's a list of, in this melach in particular, there's a long list of leniencies, but spreading avocado, making guacamole, for example, on Shabbos, the whole, I'm not talking about Costco from the, you know, the bin, in the jar, or whatever, but I'm talking making fresh avocado on Shabbos is a problem of tochen, will be prohibited because of tochen. That's example number one. Application number one. Number two would be scraping dry mud off of shoes. We're not talking about wet, loose mud, but if it's dry, clumped on your shoes, scraping that off on Shabbos is a potential problem of tochen. Two more examples. I realize they may not all fit. The third application is cutting vegetables into small pieces. So making dicing onions or any veggies really into a salad, into an Israeli salad, something like that, is a problem of tochen on Shabbos. Getting some stares here, like. So again, we're gonna find several ways around a lot of these things. You can still eat your salad, but certainly finely chopping. And how exactly, you know, there's no definition in halacha how many millimeters each piece is considered fine and how many is not considered fine. But if we call it finely chopped, that's usur. That's tochen. And then the last example I want to share with you is a pepper grinder. Pepper grinder, your regular pepper grinder you find on some tables. You got your salt shaker and your pepper grinder, this pepper corn, whatever they call those guys. And you just, on your plate, you just grind it. That is tochen, the real deal tochen on Shabbos. You cannot use one of those on Shabbos. And as an aside, of course, it makes the grinder muksa. That grinder would be muksa. Because as we discussed in the beginning, anything you can't use on Shabbos becomes, by definition, muksa. You're not out of your mind, out of mind. You're not allowed to interact with that grinder on Shabbos. So those are four examples, applications, if you will, of tochen. Now, leniencies, so everyone can start breathing again. A of this is, clearly, if finely chopping is what's prohibited, then cutting into larger pieces is permissible. Now, this cutting your food is fine. Chopping your food is not. Where we draw the line, halakhically, between larger pieces and finely chopped is not, you know, it's very, very hard to define, but certainly the post can say, if we call it, if, you know, in our world, we call that chopping, then it's out. If you call it cutting, then that's fine. That's perfectly fine. Yes, ma'am?
So like the small carrots.
The little guy, baby carrots in
and
the bag.
You want to cut it into thirds for salad.
Yeah, that's not a problem.
Okay. That's not chopping.
No. By cutting them into, let's say, 10, you know, 10 pieces, that, you know, that would be chopping.
Taking a piece of celery and cutting it into little pieces is against the...
Is that right?
What about making egg salad?
Oh, we're getting there. That's actually fine. That's the next one? That's the next one. Okay, so let me address that right away. Leniency number 2B of this is that when you're dealing with food, specifically food, token only applies to organic material. It only applies to things that grow. So the vegetables we just discussed, your carrots, your celery, all that kind of stuff, tomatoes. But tuna fish, eggs, anything which is not organic. Again, we're only talking about food. This is why it's a little confusing and hard to remember. Only when we talk about food items, the halacha, the malacha of token only applies to organic materials, which means there's nothing wrong with mashing down the tuna fish, with mashing the egg. All that kind of stuff is perfectly fine. Token does not apply.
What about if you're squeezing like bags of tuna and egg?
Yeah. I mean, if that were prohibited, that would be token also. It's I mean,
I
might be a strange way. I don't know why that would be. So token...
Fruits and veggies.
No, token can apply to everything. Yeah, thank you for asking that. Token, as we said, applies to mud, applies to everything, really. This leniency, though, is limited to food, non-organic food. The leniency B, leniency number 2 over here, applies to non-organic foods. Strictly. It's a kind of a strange category. But it applies strictly to non-organic foods. So non-organic other stuff, certainly token applies. You can't start taking wood and making sawdust. That's token. Not that anyone here would ever want to do that. But, you know, the mud example, all those things are prohibited. It's just the tuna fish and the egg, the most common examples. That would be fine. Okay. C of this is that once something is ground, it's permissible to grind it again. Once something is ground once, you're allowed to grind it again. So a cookie, for example, that was wheat kernels once upon a time. To grind wheat actually is a classic. We should have talked about that earlier. But the classic case in the Mishkan was taking wheat kernels and grinding it into flour. And you can, if you want to put that in the source from the Mishkan, that certainly was the classic case. I'm sure the picture book, has that example. The man is pouring wheat kernels into a grindstone and making flour. This whole 11 steps is the ultimately to get to bread. So that's prohibited. But once that flour is made and then reconstituted into a cookie, into challah, into anything, then if you want to break up the cookie for some reason, you want to make the cookie into cookie topping for your ice cream, you know, your sundae, that's fine. Because you're regrinding, so to speak. You're breaking down something which was already broken down. And just glued together with egg and shit, you know, whatever. That's perfectly fine. So cookies, a clump of sugar, for example, a clump of salt, any of that kind of stuff, to smash that would be fine because the sugar came in granules and then moisture, whatever it is, got it to be a clump, and then you're just mashing that clump down. So that may look like tochein. But that is not token.
So along that line, and going back to the chopping of pieces, if you have something that's a big piece, can you go back and cut it smaller?
If something's a big piece.
Objectively not. If you have a bigger piece of tomato and it's already cut.
Right. So you
cut it into a smaller.
So there the rules. No, this leniency would not apply in that case. You can cut it smaller if the end result is not considered chopped. So half a tomato certainly can be cut to much, you know, much smaller than that. But once you get wherever that line is of chopping, you can't go. Okay, and then the last leniency, ladies, is also an important leniency. We discussed in the very beginning of the introductory concepts to Malacha, we talked about using a shinui, using a weird way, a strange way of doing things. So, if you recall, we said most of the time, strange, muksa is an exception, but typically strange things are, if you do the Malacha in a strange way, we say it may not be biblically prohibited, but it's still rabbinically prohibited. You can't go to a light with your elbow and turn the light on. That's a rabbinic prohibition. So most things are like that. Here, we don't say that. So if one uses a halachically certified, so to speak, shinoi, a weird way of crushing, that actually is permissible. So going back to our example of the guacamole, if you use the handle of the spoon, the handle of a fork, the handle of a knife to mash down that guacamole, that avocado, that's perfectly fine. Even though the end result is the same, you're still getting guacamole, and you did it on Shabbos. You started with a whole veggie, and you're grinding it down. But as long as you use that shinoi, that act, which is strange, as defined by the halacha, that's fine. And here the chazal did not come, the rabbis did not come, interestingly enough, and say, don't do that, it's too close for comfort, it's like turning on the light with your elbow. Here, the halacha does not say that. So, if you use that particular shinoi, the other example they all give is crushing down a banana for a baby. You want to mash down a banana. So you can do that as long as you use the handle of the spoon and not the spoon, you know, the head of the spoon. So it's not, you know, for most things that works just fine. Yep. To use it as a spread or whatever, yep. As long as you use that shinoi, as long as you use that methodology, which is weird, you know, use the handle of the fork. You can't use a knife blade, no. You'd have to use the handle of the knife.
Well, if it's already, if you bought it.
No. Like, you cut in half avocado.
Right.
And you take with whatever and spread it on the bread.
Yep.
So you cannot do this.
That's okay, yes.
With the knife.
With the knife. You mean, oh, you're thinking you spread it with the knife once you've already mashed it with the...
No. You don't mash it.
She just...
Oh, just pieces.
Yeah.
Avocado pieces. Well, it depends. If you're scooping out a piece and just putting it on the bread, that's fine. Once you smear it on the bread, that's already considered tochin. That's like grinding. Meaning we don't grinding. You know, you and I think of grinding maybe as just chopping or the pepper, but smearing in that sense also is like tochin.
So what about the bamanush or whatever stuff like that? So it's okay to put on the bread.
So
with the wrong end of the knife.
Yes. You're talking like eggplant,
yeah,
or something like that, and if you
chumis,
well, chumis is as an interesting example. Chumis is already processed. Once it's a chumis, once it's baba ganoush, once it's guacamole, you can do whatever you want because it's already been processed, you know, in the store. That's not a problem. Now, the spreading those items, ladies, if they're already processed into the paste, into whatever it is, you know, chumis is a great example. That's not a problem. Taking a regular, you know, spoon and smearing, trying to make hummus on Shabbos, I can't say I've ever tried, is you can't do that. You cannot do that. Chickpeas, on the other hand, if you want to take the handle of the fork and mash them down, that's fine. That would be fine. So, I'm saying if you're trying to make
something.
You can tell I'm already out of my... I do dishes. I don't do much you know, before that. Yeah, go ahead.
If you have a whole avocado.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Can you cut the avocado, scoop out half of the avocado with a spoon, and then cut that into pieces and put it in the salad?
Sure. As long as those pieces, the only issue there would be the size of those pieces. As long as those pieces are not chopped, they're cut. They're a little bit bigger pieces. That would be fine. So in this case, ladies, it's both you know, smushing it down, for lack of a better term, into a paste. That would be tochein, and it's chopping it down. They're still solid, but they're chopped down into smaller pieces. That's also tochein. Sugar cube is getting close, I would say. I mean, the sugar cube I'm thinking of is getting close. So it should be a little bit bigger than that. Just it's hard to know. Again, it's very hard to know exactly what, you know, where the line is. Yes, ma'am.
So, if I want to put garlic in chowder.
Yes.
You cannot just put like big piece. How would you properly chop it?
So you're talking about putting it in shallot?
Before, you have to do it before anyway.
Like, not the same. You want a fresh one.
So you still have to. What do you mean? You have fresh that you're putting in on your plate?
No. You're mixing it with chowder.
Right. So something like that, you would have to. Yeah, something that gets sticky. We'll talk. That should be avoided on Shabbos only because there's many opinions would say you're cooking the garlic.
No.
It's pre-cooked.
You find out.
Yeah.
You have to take the pot out.
Right.
And you're not putting back. I'm not putting it back.
Right, but raw herbs and raw garlic in this. I'm assuming it's raw.
It's raw.
Right. So putting that in, certainly in together with solids, chunks of potato, chunks of meat, something like that. There are many, many opinions hold that those solids are now cooking the oregano. They're cooking the garlic. They're cooking the.
But it's out of the.
But they
right.
Still have to.
So you're hitting on two different issues in Bishul, which are easily confused, which we'll have to explain more later. But suffice it to say, if a solid is still hot, especially if it's in its pot, the original pot. In other words, you're talking about a kli rishon, the first vessel, which is the pot, on the fire and then off of the fire. In this case, it won't make a difference. You can't add something. Salt is fine, but let's say, raw pepper or raw garlic leaves or oregano, anything raw, you're not allowed to add to a hot soup, chalent, anything like that. Certainly in the first vessel and the second vessel, it gets more complicated.
Because I asked her about Freitag, she said you can put anything if it's out of the, the heat, of the heat, and you're not putting back. So you can add anything you want.
I'll have to, my people call Rabbi Freitag and discuss this with him.
Smashing it? No, not smashing it, but probably cutting with the knife, but now I don't know what I'm going to do.
Garlic powder before
you have a
Yeah, you can. I missed something there. You can. So again, I will. Freitag and I will have a. We'll have a some words. Yes, and we'll try and I'll have to understand what he meant. But suffice it to say that. Yes, one thing for sure we can go on record as saying you can definitely, I know this is not what you want to hear, but
yeah,
you can definitely put it in, the chalent before Shabbos, that goes without saying, whole chop makes no difference. If it's garlic powder, I assume it's already pre-cooked somehow.
Yeah.
I assume so. So garlic powder, adding garlic powder to anything hot on Shabbos, not on the fire presently, is certainly fine. But adding raw things like garlic, again, oregano, all these types of things, to a hot pot is prohibited.
So can she have either garlic behind it?
That would be fine. Yeah. That's a great example, Allison. I don't know if anyone wants to do that, but it works. No. No. Once it's in you, you're good to go. No. Thank God, no. That would get complicated.
The whole issue, though, is because of the heat of the chalent
right.
would cause the
garlic to cook.
Garlic to cook.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep.
How about, for example,
okay.
You want to
add?
Can green peas to the salad?
What is that? Say again?
Yes. Can green peas? The salad.
Green peas?
Yes. Can. That's when you mix them up.
Oh, yeah.
When you mix them up by accident. On peppers, definitely some of green peas will
get smushed. No problem.
No problem.
No problem.
So what was the other thing?
No problem at all.
We were going to discuss about onions. We could use a fresh onion and chop it up and put it in the salad. If they're making salad.
You certainly can't chop the onions. You can make slices. That's fine. Slices are fine. Again, chopped onions would be a problem of toching. That's certainly a problem.
Depending on the size.
Yeah. Yeah. Once it gets to chopped, whatever that is, that would be prohibited. Again, pieces would be fine. A slice would be fine. Chopped would be out. So how many pieces in all? I don't know. But there certainly comes a point we call chopped. That's beyond that, you cannot go. Okay. Okay, and then actually, this isn't a leniency, but just to clarify, and this really picks up on what Allison just asked about, you know, once it's internal, there is no tochein once it passes your lips, right? Your teeth don't count. Imagine if you couldn't do tochein with your teeth, you couldn't eat very much, just be smoothies all day. That's, you know, I suspect no one was troubled by this, but I just want to, you know, articulate that. That, like all other malachos, once it's passed your lips, you know, all bets are off. The malachas do not apply to you know, once it's inside of you. Okay. Yeah. Mush it around your mouth. And, you know. What's that, the challenge?
Yeah, how cool is supposed to be? Like, how many minutes supposed to say?
Well, it has to be less than Yad Seletesbo. Yad Seletesbo is a big dispute. Maybe here you could be lenient, a range between 115 to 170-ish. I have to look it up. But certainly 170 would be a lot easier to... No.
But if you stick your
now that you ask,
it burns, it's too hot.
Okay. So we'll get to that. Now, while tochen certainly is relevant, ladies, to food and to food preparation, again, mud is an example, but the real conversation here, especially in our world, with tochen, has actually very little to do with grinding. It has everything to do, well, for us at least, and it has everything to do with taking medicine.
That's a big issue.
Taking medicine. This is a big issue. And we will learn together many, many leniencies. And thank God we have a little bit of time, because I don't want anyone to leave thinking that, you know, making a mistake about this. Obviously, taking medicines is a very important, critical issue. I'll never forget a comic strip. My mother-in-law, she should live and be well, was a pharmacist. So she had a comic strip on her refrigerator. I suspect it's still there. You know, big banner, drug-free America, and the kids on amoxicillin, and the teens on Ritalin, and you know, everyone's on something, right? So, medicines, pharmaceuticals in this country, obviously, is a big deal, an important topic. We'd rather pop our pills than change, yeah. Change behaviors or systems or whatever. So, the issue with medicines and tochen until recently, really recently, medicines were ground. I mean, medicine shop down the street, you know, medicines were ground in-house. You went to the doctor, whatever it was, and she made the medicines right there, or you made it at home on your own. And there's probably many, many places in the world to this very day where that's still the case. We don't, you know, we take it out of a bottle, you get at Kroger or Publix. So the actual grinding of medicines, of herbs, of spices, or whatever, for medicinal purposes, is a biblical prohibition of tochein, which I should say clearly would be waived in the face of life or limb. We'll talk more about this later, but it goes without saying. Every single malacha is waived in the front of saving someone's life. So it's a question of grinding the medicine to save a life on Shabbos, or God forbid, letting the person die. There is not even a discussion. I mean, there's no question. There's a lot of discussion. There's no question. You do tochein to save the life. That's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is that Shabbos is pushed away wherever necessary to save a life. Okay, so there's the potential biblical prohibition of actually grinding stuff, which for us, again, is relatively obscure, relatively unheard of. And then the focus of our conversation will be a shvus, a rabbinic prohibition, which says that under certain circumstances, one is not allowed to take medicines on Shabbos, even if they're pre-ground, even if they're already processed by Johnson & Johnson or whoever else, that's still a rabbinic prohibition. It's a rabbinic prohibition of taking medicines because of the concern that allowing one to take medicines will easily lead to the preparation of those medicines. Now, again, there's many, 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 many exceptions to this rule. Yes, tochein itself is prohibited certainly to prepare medicines unless there's an issue of life or limb. That would be a biblical prohibition of actually grinding the herbs, the whatever they used. And then there's a rabbinic prohibition on top of that, which says even if the medicine was prepared before, even if the medicine was prepared, you know, Friday morning, one's not allowed to take those medicines under certain circumstances, because it's your typical siyug, your typical fence that says don't do this because it could easily lead to that. Now, Maybe I'll say this to them, actually. The emotional reaction to this oftentimes is definitely there. So maybe after I give you some more of the details, I'll explain that. Okay, the last point on this page, ladies, edible versus non-edible, there is really no difference. There's no distinction made in halacha whether it's you're talking about a pill or an ointment, a medicated ointment or something like that. The rabbinic rule would apply to both because it's, again, it's the norm would be to do tochen, to prepare the medicine, taken orally or otherwise, and therefore the rabbis came along and forbade both.
Mm-hmm. You can or can't
do it. So we're going to go through a list of when you can and when you can't. It's already done. Right.
You're not making more.
Right. So we're going to talk about.
We don't make our own anyway.
Yeah. We're going to talk about all, all that.
And also,
yeah.
If it's the dosage, it's the prescription, is that you take
daily.
3 a day.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Take it daily.
Yeah, that's coming up.
Okay.
That's coming up. Okay, so let's turn the page. Now, you'll notice on the top of the next page, lady, starts off with three categories of adults. We really should preface this by saying that none of these rules apply to kids.
Okay.
When the rabbi said no medicine on Shabbos, they specifically excluded children. At what age does that go until? I think they say bar mitzvah, so I'm really not sure off the top of my head. But certainly children, infants, babies, or, whatever medicines they need to take, no rules apply to that at all. Again, no grinding itself. I'm talking about in our world where we're giving Advil, we're giving Tylenol, we're giving Sudafed, liquid form or pill or whatever, to a child, there's no restrictions whatsoever. So the only restriction will apply to adults. So let's go through the three categories. In this context, the three categories of adults. The first is someone who's uncomfortable but fully functioning. You got a cold. You got a slight headache. That is the first category. And that's where the rule does, in fact, the rabbinic rule certainly does apply. It applies to category A. So that the medicine's being taken to deal with a minor ailment. Nothing that's going to knock you off your feet and certainly nothing that is threatening in any way to your life, liberty, pursuit of happiness.
But it is
potentially exactly yes, and we'll talk about where we set that bar in a minute. But so that's category A, uncomfortable, fully functioning. Again, examples you should jot down are headache, cold, something like regular headache. I'm not talking about a migraine or something that really knocks you out. Just a regular discomfort. The second category, B, is a person feels sick and needs to lie down or they're really not functioning properly. So someone's got the flu, they've got some kind of somewhat substantial fever, they've got a migraine, anything which, again, is not life-threatening, is not going to, God forbid, land a person in the hospital, but it is, you can't come, you wouldn't go to work, you wouldn't go to school, you can't get a shul, you're really not functioning. You're really not feeling well in a real serious sense. Here, the biblical prohibition certainly does apply. I mean, one cannot grind per se for someone in that situation. That would be a biblical violation that you can't do on Shabbos. But the rabbinic rule against taking medicine does not apply once a person is that ill. Once a person is that ill, a person has 102, let's just say that's 100, whatever the exact, it's really very subjective. But once a person's in that situation, they can take Tylenol, they can take Advil, they can take whatever they normally would take. So, let me just round off at least the list of three here. Threat to life or limb, ladies, we're talking about someone goes into labor. Someone, Baruch Hashem. Someone, tell the baby, 20 more hours and we'll be fine. God forbid an accident of some sort. Anything like that, then, as we mentioned a moment ago, of course the rabbinic rule doesn't apply, and any biblical prohibition that needs to be violated to get that person to a safe place is violated. It's now a mitzvah to violate the Shabbos to save that life. Whether that means putting out a fire, whether that means hopping in a car to go to the hospital, whether it means calling an ambulance, any malacha whatsoever without thinking twice. And I want to emphasize here, the halacha is emphatic. The halacha is very clear and says, if there's any question of threat to life or limb, you don't know. Right. Clearly the person's not feeling well. It could be nothing, or it could be something. You do whatever you normally do on a Tuesday to get that person safe. We do not in any way, shape, or form take any chances whatsoever. You know, the doctor says, you silly person, you know, it's nothing. So fine, you feel a little silly and you did the right thing. But there's no, you know, there is no competition at all with keeping Shabbos and a questionable. Someone breaks a limb, it may be confound, there may be compound rather, it may be internal bleeding, any of that kind of stuff. You do whatever you would do on a Tuesday to get the person medical care. It turns out to be a sprain, so fine, it's a sprain. Oh, thank God.
That's my mother was babysitting my boys when they were little, and they were playing on the patio, sort of kickball more or less, and she tripped and she actually ended up breaking her arm. And it was on Pesach, I think, Yontif. So we took her to the hospital.
Right. If there's any question that might be, you know, remotely serious, you go.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. You drive to the hospital thinking it's a significant thing and it ends up being a sprain. How do you get back home?
Good question. That gets actually, Rabbi. I think it's not a secret that Rabbi Deutsch had some was having some. I don't know if it's shortness of breath or I'm not sure exactly what it was, but he was in the hospital Friday afternoon and he walked back. He walked back from apparently took him over an hour. I assume he was in Pill Hill somewhere. So he walked.
Wow.
That doesn't mean every situation requires one to walk, but so we'll talk more about that when we get to.
What's the maintenance medicines go? So you have. High blood pressure. You
yes.
take the medicine every day.
You right.
have a thyroid thing.
Okay. So that's definitely on our list, and that is totally, where is that on our list? It's multi-day regimen. It's two-thirds of the way down. The short answer is that's fine. You're not only allowed, but you're supposed to take those. You still have a question, Mrs. Crone?
Yes, the question that we have here, and it kind of was with the oven, but we've gone beyond the oven.
We're past that now.
Can you take a temperature on Shabbos to know that in fact the child has fever?
Yes.
You can.
Yes. Now one should not use, unless there's a question of life, again, life or limb, one should not use electronic,
digital.
Which is getting digital. It's getting harder and harder these days to find non-digital thermometers. Yeah, it's harder and harder to find.
You know, I saw one in public last time on the Mercury.
It was $100, but yeah. Unless one really sincerely thinks that there is, you know, a threat to life or limb, one should not use digital, right? And the truth is, at that point, I don't know why anyone's taking temperature. I mean, if you really think the kid isn't, you know, you grab the kid and you go. You don't necessarily care if it's 102, 104, if they're really that sick. Then, okay, so let's get back to our sheet over here. So. When we talk, ladies, about uncomfortable but fully functioning, again, biblical, for sure, it goes without saying, one cannot violate. And this is also where the rabbinic rule does apply. So both biblical and rabbinic violations cannot be done for this type of a person, which would include taking medicines out of a bottle, pre-ground. You know, you don't know, you wouldn't even begin to know how to make this stuff. That would actually be prohibited. Now, let's go down the list of things that are fine. Regular foods, tea, for example. You never drink tea, except if you have a cough. That's fine. Tea is not medicine. Tea is just a regular food. That's totally fine. So any regular foods, the only rule that the rabbis made was on medicines, things that are specifically consumed by someone, and only consumed by someone, really, who is currently sick. They're ill. Yeah.
Considering the reason for the rabbinic injunction.
Yes.
And considering where we're at and the fact that nobody
grinds. Okay, so we're going to talk about that at the
why?
End. Yes, I wanted to get there at the remind. If I don't talk about it, I'm sure I will. But if I don't talk about it, remind me. Not
I don't understand.
Yes. Okay, so I want to go through these only because we only have a few minutes. So we have 10, 12 minutes left. So I want to make sure we get through these. This is not something to misunderstand. I mean, obviously. This is a topic that we need to have clarity on. Okay. And then, ladies, if you can just skip down about two-thirds of the way down, you'll notice a point that says activities that generally do not involve medicines. So I want to touch on that. Any activities which are healthful activities which do, generally do not involve a medicine in any way is fine. So any type of orthodontic headgear, ice packs, a brace of any sort, body braces, all these things are medicinal, so to speak. You can pick them up in a drugstore. But these do not, there's no prohibition whatsoever of using any of those types of things. So the rule is not really don't do things that are, you know, help a person stay healthy. It's specifically around medicines, around things that could be ground, basically. Yes, yes. That touches on a different malacha, but certainly, I mean, if it's a boo-boo, the answer, I guess, should say is no, meaning, well, I shouldn't say that. If it's a little boo-boo, for the lack of a better, you know, minor laceration, you know, it's a relatively minor thing, then you can certainly bandage it, band-aid, bandage, whatever it is. You should not use medicated creams, etc. If it's more than that, Doc said, you know, it has to be, you know, the antibiotic, serious concern here of infection, that's already category B. And then the rule would not apply. How you apply the cream is a whole separate conversation. Stay tuned for next time. Okay, so let's get back to our list here, ladies. So regular, having said that, activities that do not involve medicines, we can go back up and say regular activities, light exercise, that's fine. No problem at all. Heavy exercise, really a workout, would be prohibited only because it's not what Shabbos is supposed to be. You know, the goal of Shabbos is not to spend 2 hours. I got some time, I'll spend 2 hours working out. That's really not. If you want to take a brisk walk, you want to do stretches, that's all, that's totally fine. A splinter is, one is allowed to remove a splinter on Shabbos. The only caveat here has nothing to do with tochein, but now that we're here, one should do their best to avoid causing it to bleed, which, let's face it, we're going to do that anyway. I mean, most of us are not out there to get ourselves to bleed. So one can remove it, but one should avoid causing bleeding, which is a whole separate malacha. We'll talk about more. Bandages, to talk again to that. Bandaging certainly is perfectly fine as long as there's no medicine involved. You can bandage a boo-boo. Well, that's perfectly fine. Again, medicated bandages or applying creams that are medicated is okay only if a person's already in category B. If they're already, you know, there's a bigger concern here. Oil on hands. We touched on this before. One certainly, you know, lotion on the hands is not medicinal. That's not considered medicine. Certainly in our milieu, in our world, we use hand lotion throughout the winter, many of us all the time. And even though that may prevent, you know, bleeding or whatever, that's not medicinal. So that's fine. The only issue here is, as we've discussed before, it has to be liquidy. It has to flow nicely, so oils, aloe vera, any kind of oil is fine. Most hand lotions are too thick for use on Shabbos. So you can either water it down or find something that's more, you know, pours relatively easily, but it's not a medicinal issue at all. A light massage is perfectly fine. Heavy duty, I don't know, chiropractic, that type of thing, unless a person's really ill, should be... anything which could... I don't know if about this, but anything which could, there could be medicines involved in the process should be avoided if they're in a category, if we're talking about a person in category A. But a light massage one's back is fine. Cutting pills in half is perfectly fine on Shabbos, assuming you're allowed to take the pill. Cutting the pill in half is fine. The only thing that should be avoided, we touched on this with the cake issue last week, the only thing that should be avoided is words, letters that are imprinted on the pill. If it's in the pill, it's fine. It's carved in type of thing. But if it's on the pill, that should be avoided. Cut it before. You know, go home and cut yourself. Yes. That's a good question. Yes. Yes, that's perfectly fine. Okay. Bug repellent. No problem at all. It's not considered a medicine. And that's non-issue whatsoever. Now, prevention, preventative medications, lady, prophylactic of any sort, is perfectly fine. There is no prohibition in using that at all. So, drinking wine gives you heartburn. So you want to pop a Tums before you drink the wine. That's actually fine. There's nothing wrong with this, which probably includes a good chunk of the medicines that we take in our world. It's not simply, it's not to solve the problem. We know the problem's going to come, and therefore you can take it beforehand. That's actually perfectly fine. I remember learning this, and I almost fell off my chair, that this is actually permissible. But it is. I mean, it's just that's the way Chazal wrote the rules, is this is perfectly fine. It's also ground, but they limited, I mean, we'll talk about this again at the end, they limited their rule to, you know, only adults, only category A, only things that are acting on something that's already present, like a symptom that's already present. So so prophylactic is perfectly, even though, yeah, the med is the same, you know, you had to grind it before. Again, we're not allowed to grind the med to use prophylactically. But if it's already ground, you bought it at the drugstore, it's already prepared, you're allowed to take it. You're allowed to take it that way. So, you know, ladies, if you ask me a whole question for, I know there's a lot of burning questions, but I can't. I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight if we don't get through all of the gory details. Okay, so the last one in this category of a person in category A who's just, you know, not feeling well is a multi-day regimen. Something you take either multi-day or every day is perfectly fine. There's even if it's just for a minor thing, it helps with heartburn or something like that. That is permissible. The rabbinic rule does not apply in that case. It's certainly related to the prophylactic idea. You know, you take it every single day. It's to control a chronic issue, whatever it is. That's perfectly fine. Now, B, ladies, is again, if a person feels sick, they need to lie down. They're not functioning properly. So here, as we said before, biblical grinding is out. Cannot do it for someone, if you need to grind a medicine for someone with a migraine, cannot do that. But for that person to take a medicine, which is already prepared, which again is going to be our case, is perfectly fine. The rabbinic rule does not apply. The rabbis only made this rule on adults who are in category A. The rabbinic rule does not apply to adults in category B. The next point also I think is very important, and that is, let's say you're an adult and you're not sure. You're being intellectually honest. You're not sure, am I A or am I B? Is this just a little pain, or is this like already borderline, I'm really not feeling well? So here, many poskim say one can be lenient, because part of the rationale is that we're not grinding things on a regular basis today anyway. So even though the rule applies for a reason we'll get to in a moment, they say one can certainly be lean towards the lenient side in this situation. I should also say that we, thank God, being spoiled rotten Americans, and we don't like being uncomfortable at all, ever. Just note how long it takes you when you sit in the car to turn on the heat or turn on the air. It's, you know, 1.5 seconds. So that what that means is our threshold for crossing from A to B is much lower than it was 100 years ago. Right? Our great-grandparents had a headache. What are you supposed to, you know? So maybe they had some tricks and they relaxed, whatever they did. But they didn't pop a pill within 3 minutes of feeling the headache, like most of us typically do. So having said that, it's important to understand that that threshold is lower than it would have been in other generations. Okay, the last point is obvious, I think, to all of us, and that is, if there is threat to life or to limb, as the third time I'm saying it tonight, one should not hesitate, one should not consider and ask, you know, let's ask the rabbi. No, do whatever needs to be done to make sure this person is healthy and happy and well, and then and the rules of Shabbos are waived for, and not waived, you know, Shabbos is over, let's do whatever we want, Shas v'Sholom, but the whatever is necessary to do to get that person safe, biblical, rabbinic, makes no difference, one is obligated at that point to desecrate the Shabbos in order to save that life. Okay, now let me address the issue here. The question, of course, is why? Why does this rule still apply today if we are all popping pills that we don't? Again, we have no idea. There's no tochein in our world at all. It's in the factory and who knows where, and it doesn't relate to us. So the answer that I'm sure you've all heard, which doesn't always sit so well with us, but that is, when the rabbis made a rule, sometimes they have an out clause. They have a line that says, you know, when the situation, and there are examples of this, when the situation changes and the rule no longer applies. But most of the rules that the rabbis made do not have that type of an out clause, which means that even if the situation on the ground changes, they want us to keep these halachos. Now, that I think in some ways, I think we've touched on this before, is somewhat prophetic, because many of the rabbinic rules, I mean, much of what we do in life today is only rabbinically prohibited. Your computer, your cell phone, your along with, I mean, almost all electronic applications certainly are rabbinic in nature. And if we didn't have those rules, Shabbos would be out the door. I mean, just gone. Couldn't drive a car. But then again, electric cars. I mean, we would nullify Shabbos almost overnight if those rabbinic rules were not in place. And they made these rules way, way before. But they, I think, had a certain sense that these rules need to be in place. So I think it's instructive here. They did not limit someone who really, really doesn't feel well. They really need to take, you know, a couple Advil and crawl into bed. They simply said, this is an opportunity for us to be focused on this idea that today is different. And even if it does cause a little bit of discomfort, which for us it can be a big deal, but that's what the halacha requires. It's somewhat counterintuitive, because Shabbos is all about oneg. Shabbos is all about relaxation and enjoyment and good food and extra sleep and all that stuff. But there are times when the Torah wants us to give up of ourselves, to give up of our own creature comforts for the Torah. So this is one. This is an area. I've never seen this in writing, but I think this is an area where the Chazal felt that that's appropriate. That as long as it's not anywhere, you know, again, it's nothing dangerous, and even less than that, it's nothing that puts you, you know, knocks you off your feet. This is an area where we can push ourselves a little bit, because that's what the Torah requires. Just to wrap up, I remember years and years ago, it must be 15 years ago, Rabbi Dunner, who since passed away, he was a Dayan in England, came to Atlanta to speak. So it was pouring cats and dogs. Did I share the story already? No. It was pouring cats and dogs Friday night. I remember it like yesterday. It was pouring. We lived in Tocco Hills then. It was just, I mean, really, like really, 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 really raining. So he was staying at the Feldman's with Rabbi Feldman. And Rabbi Feldman, the next morning when he introduced him to speak, he recounted that on the way home, he and his son were trying to run home, get out of the, not that it would help, but to run home. They lived further away from Shul then. And Dayan Dunner kept falling behind. So, you know, it's not nice to leave your guest, especially someone like Dayan Dunner, behind. So they got talking, and Rabbi Dunner explained the reason he's not rushing home is because how many times do you have the opportunity to give up for Shabbos? Shabbos is so enjoyable and pleasurable, and we look forward to it, and how many times do you have to give up a little bit of yourself? So here we're wet. You know, no one's going to get hurt. We're drenched anyway. So his point is, so we'll spend another 60 seconds, 2 minutes, whatever it is, because of a slower pace in the rain. That's my opportunity. You know, mysterious nefesh, we call it. It's giving up a little bit for Torah and for mitzvos. Ladies, have a wonderful evening. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to take them. My pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.